Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Yeah, but I'm wrong.
Here's John Williams.
Sometimes. This is John. I'm thinking of a couple cases in point. We'll get to that in a second. Hi, let's not start on a negative note. This is John. We're in our beautiful Skyline studio. We're so glad you're listening today to me till 3, let's say. After that, Ro and Anna. I keep listening to them, too. Did I say Anna?
You did.
Remember, you can always follow me on social media, WGN King John. I'm WGN King John. So as not to be confused with King John Travolta.
What are in my life? Gonna open up.
Lauren, did you know that John Travolta is supposed to be in the building this afternoon?
I did. I've been very excited about this.
I notice you're kind of, you're always very attractive and well made up, but are you just a little more dusted today than normal?
Not on purpose, honestly, but I guess it was just meant to be that it's a good day.
All right, Ella, if you turn the music down a little bit and talk to us on your side. So what's the John Travolta thing for you?
Grease, Saturday Night Fever, Pulp Fiction, those are the three.
Those are the big three. Bertrand and I were trying to figure out your time stamp on him and his career because he's a little old for you, but it worked, huh?
But yeah, didn't Grease come out in either the late 70s or early 80s?
Yeah, it was 70s.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I too grew up watching Grease all the time.
Oh, no kidding. You watch that movie a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Our generation loved that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And John Travolta. And then you loved him in Pulp Fiction and whatever else, huh? Yeah.
Saturday Night Fever.
So he's had some work done. And is he still physically attractive? Or is he still sexy? That sort of thing?
Yeah.
you sound unsure.
Well, I mean, he's
in your
heart. I'm a little young for him.
That's okay, but he was a heartthrob for you, and that stays forever, doesn't it?
Right, exactly.
I think guys would say the same. Like, if there is a female star that you sort of pined for when you were a teenager, and then as you all get older, they don't look as pretty, but no, they still got that place in your heart. So even if we all don't look like we once did, that doesn't matter anymore.
No.
And there's John Travolta for you. So what time's he supposed to be around?
Well, I think
1:30 or not till 2. What time do you think he's in the building, in the office?
I don't know if I'm supposed to say. Am I?
Well, you can say whatever. It's not like.
Well, officially, we're going to
go on John Travolta watch at 1:30.
At 2. At 2.
People are going to be lining the hallways.
Lauren,
just peeking around.
I'm not going to have a producer for a while because Elif's going to be wandering the halls with her phone.
Yeah, when I first told you, I was like, I'm really nervous to ask because I know it's during the show. It's so unprofessional. And then you were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go send you.
You're out there, girl. You are on John Travolta watch. And I don't think, because he's not coming to our show, he's coming to do something with Ro. So let Ro have him. So let's not even approach him. I think if you just gazed lovingly from down the hall. You do play-by-play.
I can't go and sing Summer Loving with him.
Excuse me, Mr. Travolta.
Hey,
can we do a duet?
Come on. Summer Love.
Having some fun.
Yeah, boom. And then he just starts, wella, 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 and he's walking down the hall.
Could you imagine?
And then the whole office staff comes out as a chorus, coordinated. Oh, my God.
Everyone just seems to know the dance.
I know.
Flash mob.
Nice. Yeah. What if that happened, Elif? It won't happen if you don't try.
What if?
I don't know. We got into a fight in these fabled halls when we were over at the Tribune Tower over Henry Kissinger once, and it was years before the staff settled down about that. And Henry Kissinger doesn't even sing and dance. So maybe we shouldn't start to fight over a big-time guest like John Travolta. Let's just do your play-by-play. If he see, you know, maybe he'll see you and say, hey.
Yeah, I am wearing cool pants today that kind of harken back to the 19...
Whenever's for him, yeah.
70s.
Yeah, so if it happens, it happens. I think you just need to be there. He's used to people kind of looking and following, and you could just... Oh, my God, there he is. He's walking down the hall. Tell us what he's wearing. Hi, John. Love your work. But that's about it. I don't think you go rushing
up. Big fan.
Well, that's okay.
he's not going to remember in 1 hour whatever I say. So that's...
I really have mixed feelings about approaching celebrities like that. I don't know where you all are on that.
Do
you?
I'm like that, too. I don't want to bother anybody ever.
I know. And yet, some of them, I think, genuinely appreciate a citizen coming up and just saying, hey, I enjoy your work.
Speaking of which, my mom has a good story about that. She met, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman while they were dating. And she said that Nicole Kidman was very pleased that my mom asked her for her autograph, too, because she wasn't popular yet.
Huh.
So... Nicole Kidman was never not as popular as Tom Cruise? I guess not, huh? Yeah. That's a nice touch, though. You don't want to ignore the other person, be
right.
they a celebrity or not. You know, say, hello, how are you? Nice to meet you. Big fan of your work. What do you do? Tom, I'm so excited to meet you. But I think if I was a person of note like that, and I'm out having dinner, I'm just walking the halls of a building trying to get something done, I don't know what it's like for them to... know that people want to approach you, and how accommodating should you be?
There's got to be a mix of you expect it. I mean, if you know who you are, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it also gets really old, or if, you know, you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
It could be exhausting.
But some people work in factories, and that's exhausting, too. So if the, and I don't think this is a small thing, but I think if the burden of your career and fame is that you cannot have a private moment, then... move to Montana and stop working in films, you know?
Right.
As long as the people are considerate, if they come up and say, hi, I'm just a big fan of your work, can I get a selfie or an autograph? What would you go for, a selfie or an autograph with Big John?
Me?
Yeah.
A selfie.
Selfie.
Yeah. Or a video would be fun of us singing Summer Loving.
That's not too much to ask.
But you know, like, so when I was on the airplane coming back from France a couple weeks ago, I told you one of the movies I watched was Bill Murray's Stories, about a 70-minute documentary by a guy who had heard all of these stories where Bill Murray sort of inserts himself into ordinary people's lives, and how cool that is, because he would just do the weirdest, most normal things, right? Like he'd sing with them, or he'd pop into their wedding photos when he saw them. One time he went to a party, I think this was at an apartment when South by Southwest was happening, and there was a band there. So he said, hey, can I play the tambourine? And then he did a set with them at a house party playing the tambourine. The cops showed up, and they said, hey, we're getting complaints from the neighbors. And they said, okay, you tell Bill Murray. So then they didn't, because it was Bill Murray. In another instance, he went to somebody's house and just started doing the dishes. He said, Your sink's full of dishes. And so Bill Murray started to help them do the dishes. Why am I telling you all of that? I guess because when one of the clips from that movie was Bill Murray's walking out of a ballpark, he's part owner of a couple of baseball teams, I think. I know one of them is the St. Paul Saints. But I think it was a team in North Carolina. And he's just walking out of the stadium, having gone to the game. And it's like a bunch of puppies are following him. You know, it's like cats. And people are running up to him and just saying, hey, can I get a picture? So he's got to stop, do the selfie, walk a little bit more, do the selfie. The guy's just trying to get to his car. I thought that must be annoying at some point. But again, my theory is that's the burden of your fame. Don't own a baseball team and go to the games if you don't think you can handle that. So that's the line. Speaking of movies... have you guys seen Blinded by the Light, the Bruce Springsteen movie?
Not yet. No. Have
so,
you?
Yeah, I did over the weekend. It gets 90 and a 92 from the critics and the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a hit. It's a movie you didn't see coming. There's a lot of musically themed movies out right now. Bertrand loved Yesterday.
Which no one else went to see.
I'm going to see it eventually, so we'll hold that conversation. There's the Elton John movie. There's this Bruce Springsteen movie, Blinded by the Light, about a guy who... lives through Bruce Springsteen. What's the other one? Queen, obviously. There was Bohemian Rhapsody. So there's been a bunch of them, it seems like, of late.
Rocket Man,
the Elton John movie. And so I guess my point was, when I started this segment, I said, I'm, you know, thinking big thoughts, but I think I'm wrong on this one. Brenda and I in our lives have never been more divided on a piece of entertainment, music, movies, or TV, than we were on Blinded by the Light. And she's reading my body language, and I'm reading her reading me, and I can tell that she's liking it, and I can tell that she can tell that I think this is really not a good movie. And we got out of the theater. I thought, okay, that's just me and Brenda. But I know everybody else is on my side on this one. We're all like, wow, I gave $12 and 2 hours of my life to this thing. The people coming out of the theater were loving it. I was the only person who didn't really like it.
Do you like Bruce Springsteen?
No. I mean, I don't dislike, but I have no, I don't listen to his music. I don't know the lyrics. I haven't been, never been to a concert.
See, I wondered that too, because I'm not a huge Bruce person either. Do you think that's why you didn't like it?
It's why it didn't resonate, that's for sure.
One question, John. Hamilton, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I gave it a thumbs medium.
Okay.
Which is the equivalent of, oh my God, what's the matter with you? Have you ever done that, though? Come out of a movie, music, TV show with your spouse, like, oh, isn't this the best thing? And they go, I can't even be in the room, is it? I felt bad for the people in the theater watching the movie with me. That's how bad I thought the movie was at times. And everybody I've talked to, I saw Lou Manfredini and his wife this weekend, and then several of their friends. We had a little gathering, and everybody saw the movie and everybody loved it. And then I start to feel bad because it feels like a criticism of them. Like, who the hell are you to judge us? Or you feel like you're some pompous ass because you're above the fray. I just didn't like the movie. I thought it was badly written. And they look at me like, oh, what are you, a theater critic now? You guys ever have that moment where you were completely removed from your crowd?
Yeah. Haven't you ever walked out of a movie theater before? I have.
Uh-huh. I have, but I mean, when I did, I think the people I was with were with me. You know what I mean? In this case, Brenda was staying. I couldn't wait for it to be over. Blinded by the Light. And the movie's adorable. I mean, it's really cheesy. It's a feel-good, warm movie, but it's too cheesy for me. I'll say that.
I walked out because I was scared. It was Casper when I was about 5 years old. Aww. My dad.
I walked out of The Village because it was just awful. That was that
I don't know,
M. Night Shyamalan movie with like it's old timey and apparently it's these horned pig creatures. I don't know. It was really stupid.
Wasn't working for you.
Not at all.
This is a Hollywood Reporter story inspired by the music of Bruce Springsteen. The coming-of-age film barely cracked the top 10 1 week after The Kitchen went up in flames. Blinded by the Light is a box office bummer summer movie. Bombed in its nationwide debut, it earned a mere $4 million at the box office. Well, I don't know about all of that. The people that maybe all should go see it because I'm telling you, it gets good scores on Rotten Tomatoes. It gets good scores from everybody that I've talked to that's seen it. I'm afraid I am the outlier on this one. It's about a young man coming of age, growing up in high school. His Pakistani family is very conservative. They don't want him to be a writer. His father wants him to do something that will earn money so he doesn't have to repeat his father's lot in life. They live in London. They're fighting Pakistani racism. And Bruce Springsteen, of all things, becomes his guiding light. So that's the story, and it's a lot of music, and it's a lot of them walking, listening to music with big smiles on their faces, among other things. There's one other thing that happened this weekend. We'll pick this conversation up in a minute. Now, I don't think I'm going to be entirely alone on this one. Lapka, I asked you if you watched what I watched over the weekend. Are we together on this or not? It was either the best thing that's ever happened, or it was the worst thing that's ever happened. I'll need your answer in a minute. Lots of text about our little chatter here. 847 said, John, I was that way with the Michelle Obama book. I believe it's number 3 this week, or was it number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list? What a run that's had. Everyone loved the book, John. I didn't, though I love her. Hey, Steve Bertrand, I adored Yesterday, too, as did my daughter, age 41. I still want to go to the movie just to see the part where you gasped out loud, Steve.
I cried a little bit.
Lou Manfredini cried at Blinded by the Light, and I thought I cried too because I was still sitting there. We could not have been more different in our appreciation of that movie. John, I'm in your wife's camp. It wasn't a perfect movie. It was more about Springsteen, but the emotional payout between the father and son in that movie was worth it.
Was it about a superhero? If not, I'll go see it because
thank you.
There are 3 of those.
I know. To be honest with you, that's the thing. The pickings seem kind of thin these days. I don't want to see anybody fly.
Right.
John, meh. John Travolta can dance, but he's a Scientologist, so thumbs down, says one of our listeners. I'm not going to hold that against him. To Sox trade tonight, the Sox trade swings with Minnesota in the Twin Cities. White Sox Twins tonight at 7 on WGN-TV. Oh, and on Sunday, September 22nd, please join me. I'm John Williams, the captain of the American Lung Association's Lung Force team. We're presented by Northwestern Medicine at Independence Grove in Libertyville. I want you to bring your family and friends to walk with us 3 miles that matter. Remember why we fight. We're raising awareness and funds to defeat lung cancer once and for all. Join my team or form a team of family and friends of your own. It's going to be a lovely walk. Register for free online at lungforce.org/walk, because if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. About approaching John Travolta and wondering how, what do you do when you see a celebrity? John, that's how I felt when I saw Kevin Powell and Lauren Lapka at Cork and Kerry back in May. Hashtag starstruck. 847 said, John, I would hesitate to approach you. You're a celebrity too to us.
Oh, these are some of the nicest texts.
Well, I would hesitate to approach him as well.
But for different reasons. So here's the thing. Garris, Elif, the first of the two cuts now that we have, right? Play this.
Another strikeout.
What is the record for the most strikeouts in a single inning?
Currently 3.
Okay.
That's Bill Walton doing color commentary on Friday night's White Sox game. It was on late, so maybe you missed it, but I watched it for as long as I could. I had a bad week. I turned it off after an inning.
Is 3 correct?
No. And in fact, you know, so we all get what happened there, right? He's a goof. Walton doesn't know stuff. That sounds like a dumb question. But in fact, the record, it's been done 88 times. I looked it up, is 4.
4, yeah. I thought it might be.
Nobody's ever done it 5, although in theory you could do it an infinite number of times. But it's happened 4 times. 88 times. Pitchers have struck out 4 batters in a single half inning. So that's the record. But it was just, it was a night like that.
You're timeless.
Well,
I've been dead for quite a few years.
And we all may be by the end of the night, and you figured
yes!
out a way. There's a base
We're
hit.
We're on our way!
That's your guy,
Print
James McCann.
Banner! Is that the catcher?
It is.
It went on like that for a long time.
It was hard to watch. There were times I laughed, I will give you that. But at the same time, there were a lot of times I was very irritated.
Do you remember when Harry Carey had his first stroke?
No.
You don't? And I don't remember who, but then they brought in different people to do color for months.
Yeah.
Bill Murray among them.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who was, if Stone was doing play-by-play and then the other person was the de facto color person, but they brought in celebrities like that all the time.
Yeah. This is being championed as a real coup for the White Sox. A lot of national publicity, a lot of local chatter, you know, love it or hate it, what a good idea to sort of get them in the conversation. So, again, I feel like a complete outlier on this. But Bill Walton either didn't know anything about baseball or was trying to sound dumb, you know, for effect. But it just, I didn't think it was funny. And I guess I was just, I wasn't in the right mind for that sort of thing. You know, Dave Kaplan, who I follow on Twitter and has a pretty big following in Chicago and is the famous Cubs fan, said, those of you that didn't find that entertaining should get off your high horse. And I guess I was on my high horse all weekend.
Well, the thing is, it's also irritating when people are constantly talking over each other. And that happened almost most of the time.
Poor Jason Benetti.
I know.
I mean, my tweet, I thought I was going to blow up the internet, was Jason Benetti doesn't deserve this. White Sox fans don't either. But Benetti seemed to roll with the punches, and it sounds like White Sox Nation was very happy with it. So I'll stop criticizing it. It's 1:28. I do, though, have one thing to say that I think we will all agree on about President Trump over the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, President Thomas Jefferson joins us now, the greatest land acquirer in history. President Jefferson, welcome to the show.
A good day to you, citizen.
Do you want to say anything about the Cubs' inability to win on the road?
Well, I know that when I wasn't sleeping in my own bed at Monticello, I frequently had a harder time concentrating. I would have to stay in private homes sometimes, and they would say, oh, well, you should take the bed. I like talk radios when they talk about things. Let's talk about things. So and then they would give me the bed, but the linens wouldn't have been changed for maybe 6 months or a year. I talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk and so now I have the prospect of getting into a bed in an age before people bathed, where the sheets have been on that bed for many, many months. And so this was not conducive to writing the Declaration of Independence.
Thomas Jefferson joined us on Saturday. He normally visits with us about once a year. Comes to town, we visit on stage. Teddy Roosevelt's actually going to come have a rollicking visit with us in October. Right, Producer Olive? You don't have the date off the top of your head, but he's going to come in October. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but they will be soon, and we'll tell you more about that maybe later this week or next week. And maybe if we get lucky, Jefferson comes to town for a special visit as well. Our next presidential visit, as we always do, is close to the election as we can make it, so end of October, early November. Roosevelt will come to town. But we had to ask Thomas Jefferson a few questions on Saturday. I mean, he acquired Louisiana, so maybe buying Greenland ain't such a great idea. The problem with buying Greenland is we're going to go ahead and pay good cash for it, and by the time the check clears, it could be gone. Greenland's melting left and right. It's like a trillion swimming pools a day. Gone. Or something like that. Where are we here? The Princeton Review is out, which ranks all of the major colleges and universities and the smaller colleges and universities across the country. And the 2 o'clock hour, I have the latest issue. I'll tell you where a lot of the schools that your kids may be going to or may be aspiring to go to do in that listing. There are two schools in the Chicago area that pop up a lot in the Princeton Review. One of them for very good reasons and one of them for no good reasons at all. Now, which are those schools? I think it might surprise you. I'll go over that list with you in the 2 o'clock hour here on WGN Radio. You remember last week, Steve, I said that I was talking about the fact that the president retweeted that comic who said that the Clintons may have had a hand in Jeffrey Epstein's death.
The conspiracy theory, yes.
So the president retweets that, and I said that that was appalling. And I said, I know that some of you like the president and some of you don't, but we would all agree across the spectrum that the president's retweeting of the Clinton conspiracy theory was bad form.
And I said, I thought that was cute that you believe that.
And then my wife said she thought it was cute that you said that it was cute. But the idea that a lot of people believe him when he says that, or believe that, I think is a fallacy. I think most people don't believe that. Even the followers of the president, even the people that would like that tweet, don't believe that. And I came up with a test for something like this. It's hypothetical, but tell me if this makes sense. Because I think I'm right about this. And you know what that this is? This is a effort on my part to embrace the people that listen to this station and this show who do like the president and sometimes don't like the fact that they think we run him down. What I'm saying is that I have confidence that you people are smarter than that. You like the president. You even like his style. I get that. You and the economy's doing good, whatever it is that is making you a champion of him still. He's your guy, right? But you know that everything he says isn't always true. Not everything he says is true. And this is one where he stepped over the line. And you know it. But you don't want to give it up because he's your guy. And that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I understand the circle of the wagon mentality, but I still think that's what's happening. And Steve thinks I'm being naive when I say stuff like that. But I just have confidence in you, the listeners, on either side of the spectrum. Some of you, of course, don't like him. Some of you do, but you know that was wrong. So here's the test. There is a truth, right? Either the Clintons did or didn't have a hand in Epstein's death. And 100 other people or so. There's lists out there. Some of them go to 120. Some of them are about 40 people that have mysteriously died. If the Clintons had a hand in even one of those people's deaths, right? I'm asking you, do you think the Clintons had a hand in even one of those people's deaths? I'll give you a million, and you have to get the question right. And the prize is $1 million. How do you think those people would vote now? They get a million. I know how your heart is. I know where you're, who's your guy. But you're going to get $1 million if you get this question right. Did the Clintons have a hand in any of those people's deaths? Now, which way do you think they would go on that? $1 million. $1 million, all you got to do is get the question right. Did the Clintons have a hand in any of those people's deaths? That is, did they call somebody or did they pay somebody to make sure something happened? Or did they literally strangle somebody with their bare Clinton hands? Right? I'll give you $1 million. And all you have to do is get this question right. Did they have anything to do with anybody's death? $1 million. Well, I know what the answer to that is. You're going to take the $1 million and you are going to say, no, we just don't like the Clintons. That's what that is. That's how you would vote. Imagine the opposite. If I really did have $1 million and we really did find a way to know the truth, then one of you says, oh, I'll bet they had the truth on one of them. And we go, ah, you're wrong. And then your wife looks at you and says, what are you doing? You just passed up $1 million. Of course they didn't. We just say that because we're angry. They didn't really kill somebody. How do you even do that? You just blew $1 million. That's what you would say.
We got two text messages so far answering the question.
That have plowed in on this? Okay, but we don't really have $1 million. I have a Lou Malnati's pizza, and I have a weather station from American Weather Makers. I do not have $1 million.
They're both in the 708 area code, and they both say yes.
They would bet $1 million that the Clintons had a hand on that.
One of them says, where there's smoke
there's
a
fire.
There's no smoke.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That's not even Jeffrey Epstein. That's someone else's body. That's been my favorite.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
really?
That's been my favorite conspiracy
far. I missed that. Epstein's not even dead.
Oh, my God. I read it for like 30 minutes, just everything on Twitter of people like, the ears don't match, guys. The ears don't match.
Come on, everybody. And that's fun, and that's games, and that's tribal, and that's where we are. But if you had $1 million... behind curtain number two, and all you have to do is get it right, you know what you would say. John, yes. John, he is like the National Enquirer of presidents. Okay, I'm not interested in running down the president. I'm just saying, I think, yeah, he stepped over the line. You know it, I know it. And if you had $1 million on the line, you would agree with me that that stepped over the line. Now, the president also said this over the weekend. This is soundbite number one from the president over the weekend. Go ahead, Ella.
Fox has changed, and my worst polls have always been from Fox. There's something going on at Fox, I'll tell you right now, and I'm not happy with it. Fox was treated very badly by the Democrats, very, very badly, having to do with the debates and other things. And I think Fox is making a big mistake because, you know, I'm the one that calls the shots on that. On the really big debates, I guess we're probably planning on three of them. I'm not happy with Fox. I'm certainly happy. I think Sean Hannity and Lou Dobbs, and I think Tucker Carlson and Laura and Jesse Waters and Janine. We have a lot of great people. Even Greg Gutfeld. He wasn't good to me 2 years ago. Now he sees all I've done. He said, would you rather have a great president or a nice guy? I don't know. I think I'm a nice guy. But nobody's done in 2.5 years what I've done.
So the president said, I played just a little extra of it because I usually do, because I think the sound bites sometimes don't do justice to what actually happened. But I think in this case, it's pretty clear. The president said, we have a lot of great people. And I don't think that was a slip of the tongue. I think he sees Fox as state radio and state TV. They are his mouthpiece. And can you imagine the presidential spokesperson, whoever that is these days, coming out there and disagreeing with the president, saying something bad about the president? What the president's mad at his very own network for doing is releasing a poll that said that all the other Democratic candidates would beat him right now. You know, in a way, if that is what the poll says, the president shouldn't be mad at Fox. Of course, it's a poll. They're all on the same team, but at least it's a heads up. Okay, what do we got to do to fix this? It's corrective. It's helpful, Mr. President. It's not criticism, but he takes it as criticism because it's bad news. This is the sort of thing the fake news media does, not his very own Fox News. So he's upset about the Fox News polls that say that he's not doing that well right now. That's kind of amazing. But the gaffe has been we are planning on three debates, and we have a lot of great people.
Well, but also the implication that he would have control over who could broadcast the presidential debates, which I don't think has ever happened before.
I wasn't exactly sure how to read that, because I think that line is not as egregious. We are planning on three. I think
no, but the one before where you said, I've got a lot of power over that.
Right, I don't control that. Well, but
he doesn't, no.
Sure, if he doesn't want to debate, then there won't be any debates.
Well, if he doesn't want to show up for the debate.
Sure, well, I mean, look, there's going to be a Republican and there's going to be a Democrat. If Donald Trump doesn't show up, it's not a debate. So he controls how many debates there are going to be, right? Sure. I get your point
What he's saying is he's implying that he could withhold it from Fox. You know, that Fox wouldn't get a presidential debate. And the debates are put together by the Presidential Commission on Debates or something to that effect.
Right,
I mean, they're not given exclusively to one network or another. They're just done and anyone can carry them.
Okay, then I heard it differently. Elf, play the first soundbite one more time.
Regulation. Fox has changed and my worst polls have always been from Fox. There's something going on at Fox, I'll tell you right now. And I'm not happy with it. Fox was treated very badly by the Democrats. Very, very badly. Having to do with the debates and other things. And I think Fox is making a big mistake because, you know, I'm the one that calls the shots on the really big debates. I guess we're probably planning on three of them.
There you go. I think it's interesting, too, when he says, I think Fox is making a big mistake. This is not a criticism, Steve. I'm just wondering, what is the mistake that the president is implying that Fox is making?
That they're publicizing those polls,
right.
I think. Yeah.
Not that the polls are wrong, maybe. And a lot of it has to do with the wording of the questions, right? You can sometimes get the result you wanted, depending on how you frame it. But it may be just that they released the polls, which... again, if I were Fox and I had negative information about the president's polling and I wanted to champion the president's cause, if I want to help the president, then I think I need to tell the people, hey, everybody, the president is down in the polls. We've got to get out there and work harder. Look, Joe Biden will beat him. Pete Buttigieg will beat him. So let's help the president. I mean, that could be the subtext, too. We got to take a break. Yeah. I don't know how you read that or what you thought of that line, but I thought it was interesting. And also, when he was in New Hampshire, he said something that was surprising to me, given the fact that the FEC issued a formal statement about it after he said it. What was that after this? 312 said, John, if the Clintons kill their enemies, why is Ken Starr still alive? But 708 said, if John Williams and I are standing in front of the gates of heaven, John bets the Clintons are innocent. I'm betting the Clintons are guilty and the loser goes to hell. Now that's a bet. That's not $1 million. This is eternal fire or, you know, marshmallow clouds and sunshine.
Can I answer the Ken Starr thing?
I have to finish this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Loser goes to hell. I'm betting guilty and John's going to hell. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Starr was in on it with the Clintons.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. That explains everything. Maybe the news click should be, although this sounds dated now, but it's just been on my mind lately. Do you think the Clintons had a hand in anybody else's death? And it's a yes or no. It's not a, well, I think, no. Did the Clintons order a hit? Did they pay money? Did they literally kill somebody? Yes or no? Come on.
This is a world where the mafia is talked about a lot, and I'm not going to name any more groups of people, but where there are so many conspiracies over who killed whom.
Yeah.
And over what, for what reason, and you would never think of the source.
Sure. Fair enough. I get it, Elif. I'm not saying that phenomenon doesn't exist, that organized groups of people don't put a hit out on and execute people. People do get killed. Journalists get killed. Do you think the Clintons are one of them? Do you think the former president and secretary of state are among them? That's all I'm asking. It's a yes or no. You either go to heaven or hell. You either get $1 million or you don't.
I'm not answering this question.
And I am on the no side. I'll take the $1 million and go to heaven. Thank you very much. Now, maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe I'll make my bet and I'll go, whew, it's a little warm down here for heaven. And I will have been wrong. I'm just telling you, here on earth, that's my bet. Ooh. Speaking of voting, the president also said this in New Hampshire. I only play this because I want you to know what's happened as a result. Cut two.
New Hampshire was taken away. It was taken away from us, but we should have. We did great in New Hampshire. We should have won New Hampshire, but that's okay. I'm not holding it against you because it was not your fault.
President continued to intimate that millions, no, thousands of people came into New Hampshire from outside of the state or were of some, somehow they were illegal voters. They were not registered to vote in New Hampshire, and they did. And that's why the president lost New Hampshire, as though he still needs New Hampshire. But that was his point to the New Hampshireites. And then they all cheered. So the director of the Federal Elections Commission, the woman that's in charge of elections in this country, said, you undermine the electoral process in this country if you continue to suggest that there was something wrong about the vote in New Hampshire, California for that matter, but he was in New Hampshire. So she said, it's time for you to put up or shut up. You need to either tell us what it is, because he said, I know, but I'm not going to say one of those things. It's time for you to say, what happened? Who are these millions of voters that voted illegally in the last election? We need to know, or you need to stop saying it, because if it really does happen, we got another election coming up. The president has not responded to that. It's 1:57. I want to talk in the next hour with you about school teachers who are petitioning for office supplies, for school classroom supplies. Teachers who will ask, they say on average, for $700 to help put their classrooms together. Have you donated on one of those pages? I was doing a little reading about that today. It's very interesting what happens there. And also, what are the two schools that appear most often in the Princeton Review of Colleges and Universities in the Chicago area? One for good reasons, one not so much. I'll give you that list after the news on WGN.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have
it's
to.
It's a living.
Here's John Williams.
What we do, this is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio until 3. Saturdays, we're here from 10 to noon. Remember, on social, WGN King John. That's how you find me, WGN King John, on social media. I had a busy week on Twitter and Facebook. Like me there. All right, it's 2:08 after this show, Rokan with Anna DeVlantis. You'll hear Lauren Lapkus, Kevin Powell as well. I believe John Travolta is going to be on that show. Elif, start the John Travolta theme song. Summer days drifting away. We believe that Mr. Travolta is in the building even as we speak. Where are you, Elif?
I am running down the hall towards the green area.
The rumor is maybe Studio A.
I just found him.
Oh my gosh, it's happening. Where is he?
He is in a small conference room.
Oh my God, he's just sitting there. He's not doing anything yet.
No.
Hold on, let me talk to my people. Should she go in and introduce herself or...
bring coffee, be like, did you
that's
want something
it.
To drink?
That's it. That's right. It's not I'm asking, I'm giving. So, do you want some coffee or water? How about that, Elif?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, Rich. Good, how are you? I'm just walking and just moseying back and forth.
I could see her from the window.
Well, is she, who's she talking to?
Oh, I just saw Rich Roper.
Yeah, well,
and producer Jeff.
Right, that's the show that he's going to be on a little later on.
I'm gonna pace back.
Wait a minute. So you have not stuck your head in there yet?
I didn't stick my head in. Okay, so there are a few people in there, and it made me nervous.
I know. This is heavy, but I think here's the play. It's not heavy. It's just open the door. Hey, hi guys. Can I get you some coffee or anything? I'm just one of the producers here to help.
Okay, I'm doing.
This is hard to do. I wouldn't.
Can I get any coffee or water or anything for you guys? Okay.
I would like to know. How did it go, Elif?
They're good.
Okay.
They're good, so I'm walking back.
Okay. Well, maybe we need another scheme. Donuts, maybe, you know.
We don't have any donuts.
I know. We can get some donuts. Roast beef sandwiches. Maybe it was the coffee. I mean, you're a nice person. They surely would want to visit with you.
We have an electrician uniform? Could we go fix the TV in there?
Yeah, or the camera or
mechanical. Mechanical. I understand there's an HVAC problem in Studio Q. All right. Roll on back. That's okay. Roll on back, but good try, Elif.
Okay.
I know. That's just not easy to do. I didn't ask her how he looked, but I'll bet.
That was so funny. I'm like watching her pace the hallway from my traffic box on the phone. Oh, my God.
Good job, Elif. You know, the other thing is, too, you can kill the music. When you do meet a celebrity, you have in your mind them as you've seen them, which is beautiful Hollywood makeup, maybe cool clothes or whatever. And then you see them. A lot of times they have sweatpants on and a T-shirt because they're doing radio or, you know, they're not on TV right now. They're not doing a movie. So that can be a little disappointing. I had a Victoria's Secrets model on one time because she was a Victoria's Secrets model and she didn't look like anything in the pictures. And then you thought, well, then why am I doing this, Matt Bubala?
Do you want me to tell you more about what just happened? Or because my heart was pounding out my chest, so I couldn't say
Ella.
Much.
Oh, Ella.
So they were taking photos, his manager or assistant was standing there, had some really nice glasses. I said, would you like any coffee or water? Which you heard me say.
Yeah, you did the perfect.
And he turned around immediately and said, no, we're good, thank you. He was very friendly, but John Travolta didn't see me.
Oh, no. Well, that's his loss. And you saw John Travolta, though? I know somebody's showing you something over there. Did you see John Travolta, though?
I did, yeah.
And?
He looks really good.
Great. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He does look really good. He was wearing a tux, not a tux, like a suit.
I have some barbecue sauce in my office. Maybe he'd like some barbecue sauce. You didn't offer them barbecue sauce.
Oh, and yeah, you have that Jardinera.
Yeah, we have some Jardinera, too, from Chicago. Hey, walk it. Just open up
not
the air.
Not a bad idea.
So you just come in.
Excuse me, do you want a Bright Side of Life pin?
Exactly.
Sign my...
No.
Okay.
I will... That's round two in just a little bit. Elif continues to look for and try and create her moment with John Travolta. It's 2:13. I was reading on fastcompany.com. Education system is so underfunded that the classroom donation industry is booming. Our education system is so underfunded that the classroom donation industry is booming. There's websites like Classroom Giving. Let me go back a minute. There's places like DonorsChoose.org or GoFundMe.org. And the guy that does another site called Classroom Giving says he doesn't like GoFundMe pages or DonorsChoose.org pages because while those crowdfunding platforms can be effective, and can make people famous, and can really generate some feel-good stories. It's kind of like winning the lottery, right? There's so many of them out there that you hope you get noticed. You hope that people think you worded it just right. Your pitch has to be good, and that the money comes pouring in. But that's kind of a roll of the dice. On Classroom Giving, I think it is, what they do is you specify... No, that's Classroom Giving. Let's see. They can now turn to Classroom Giving, a service that allows them to publicly post their needs so that other people can fund the classroom needs. The article says this, Classroom Giving is not an incorporated nonprofit. It's a website that some guy paid $12 to register, so any gifts are not tax deductible. So that's the problem with GoFundMe or Donors Choose or even Classroom Giving, which says you can pick a particular classroom. Your donation is not tax deductible. The same is true for anyone giving to any individual campaign on GoFundMe, as opposed to one started by a school district program or a nonprofit group that's, 501c3 or something. Quote, if somebody's buying something on Amazon and sending it to somebody else, maybe a friend of yours bought a new sweatshirt, that wouldn't be a donation. That would just be you buying a sweatshirt. It's just a gift. Same if you give to a school through one of these sites. And maybe that's okay. You're not doing it as a tax-deductible donation, but it would be nice. They say that the on this one website called DonorsChoose.org, where you can ask for specific things like pencils or broader projects, like we want to have a better field trip. Somebody posted that they wanted to buy butterfly cocoons for a science project. The platform's average project cost is about $700, which is, according to the site, the rough estimate to fund one classroom's supplies for a full school year. This guy was on Real Time with Bill Maher. Maher said he was shocked that this teacher was paying for cleaning supplies and paintbrushes for her classroom, and it was costing about $35,000 a year, $35,000. Some of the lists go beyond the basics. There are items like ergonomic computer chairs and wireless door chimes. He said you look at the list and you say, okay, maybe they need a food processor. Maybe they don't. You get to decide. But you can, like a wedding registry, decide what you want to give, you know, what you want to buy, what you want to give them. In fact, he said it was sort of like a wedding registry meets Tinder meets something else. It's sort of a combination of things. Do you like them? Do you like this? How much do you want to give? What do they want? And then you click on it. And it goes directly to, in fact, the mailing address is there. It goes directly to that classroom. I don't know if you are a teacher or know somebody who is, but how often is this happening? How much are you giving? How much have they got? And I guess it's crazy that teachers that are making $35,000, $38,000, $40,000 a year have to put several hundred dollars out of their own pocket to do that. But there's no teachers in my family, so I'm not really up on this. Is this really going on out there?
John, while you're waiting for the response to that, I just want to let you know we're following what looks to be a police-involved shooting in the south suburb of Riverdale this afternoon. We have a witness who talked to us and said it happened at or near an automotive business, that there was an exchange of gunfire with would-be robbers and police, we believe, from the Riverdale Police Department. There are reports of injuries there. We're looking to confirm, get official word, but that is going on East Sibley this afternoon in the suburb of Riverdale.
I was just looking for the streets on that myself, Steve. Sibley is one of them, and it's the south suburb of Riverdale. Okay, jump in here when you find out more. Sorry to hear that. It's 218. Back to the schoolroom. How much have you given? How much have you got? And what do you think about that? Get a load of this. Our news click asked you about that. It's like, what do you think about giving to a classroom that way? And the results surprised me. Here was the news click over the weekend. Some teachers publicly ask for donations for classroom supplies. A, they can't afford them. We should donate. 29% of you said that. Donate, yes, but we need to just pay the teachers more. 52% of you said that. I know, but it's just tacky, and we shouldn't donate. 2% of you said that. And 16% of you said, I pay my taxes. That's all I'm given. So almost 20% of you are not in. 52% of you think this is a bad form because we should be paying them more. And a third of you, 29%, said you don't care. Let's just donate to those poor teachers. What's going on out there? Let's trade notes. This is WGN. The number is 312-981-7200. Talking about what teachers have to do to get their classrooms put together. Hey, Kay, you're on the air.
Hi.
What do you say, Kay?
Well, we, Scarce, it's kind of an odd name. That's the name of our not-for-profit. We are in Glen Ellyn, and 20 to 60 teachers come here every day for textbooks, storybooks, school paper, student supplies, musical instruments. I just can't tell you. We get things donated from schools. We get things donated from teachers who are retiring. We get things donated by businesses when they clean out a closet and they find they have boxes of brand-new binders. So teachers come every single day and choose what they need for their classrooms. We ask for a $5 donation if they fill a box, right? But it's amazing what businesses and families and retired teachers drop off. Bulletin boards, wipe off marker boards. Teachers have chosen over 10,000 books already this summer to get back to their schools.
I do not know about this organization. What's it called?
It's called Scarce because books are scarce for many kids all over the world. We've helped kids in 105 countries in every state in our country, but most of the teachers who come every single day are from northeastern Illinois here, and we're in Glen Ellen, so we're not far. We're right on Roosevelt Road, and teachers come, and they go through. I wish we had twice as much room, so it's a little bit tight, and you got to kind of take your time and go through boxes and see what you need, but things are organized by our volunteers and our staff, and you would not believe what we get here. We make super crayons out of broken crayons for teachers who have special needs.
Let me ask you this. Is there an income cap? Like, is it only for disadvantaged schools or poorly paid teachers?
It's for any teacher teaching kids. It's for their students. It's not for their own families, right? It's for the kids that they're teaching in parochial schools.
Wow.
Lots of not-for-profits come as well. They come. Humane societies need office supplies, right? So if we have free supplies, and then that means you get to buy the things you need for your classroom, right? Come here first.
You know, when Brenda and I moved, Kay, when we moved from Minnesota, we downsized. And we had all kinds of art supplies and office supplies and stuff like that. And I don't know what we did with it all, but you would have been the perfect place for that, right?
You're perfect for that. And as more and more people downsize and declutter, they bring unbelievably great supplies for teachers, pens and pencils and markers that are not dried up. So we want things clean, safe, and working. That's what we want. And then teachers come, and they kind of wander our little narrow corridors here.
And you're in Glen Ellen.
We're in Glen Ellen.
Okay,
and
let's do
come
this.
Every single day.
I don't know about your group. I need to have a longer conversation with you another day. I'm going to put you on hold. You stay there until Elif picks up, and I want to get more information. We'll talk to you another time, okay?
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a great thing that is. Hey, Joy, you're on WGN.
Yeah, my whole family is a group of teachers, and we do buy a majority of the markers, the cleaning supplies, the tissues, you know, things that you need in the classroom. My husband and I taught high school, and so does my youngest daughter. And even, like, last year she coaches track, and a lot of the kids couldn't afford gloves. So she went to the dollar store and bought gloves for the kids who couldn't afford them. I mean, it's just, the schools just don't have the funding. She teaches chemistry. She orders a lot of the chemicals for a lot of the lab on her own with her own money. You know, my husband and a fellow coach of his had a basketball player whose family had never been to college. They took a Saturday and drove her to colleges that were interested in her because, you know, the family couldn't afford it and didn't know anything about it.
Didn't know how to do that. Yeah, I mean, where do you even begin? That's intimidating for a lot of families that don't have that in their background, too. So what was the site you guys used to make your school supply donations? Did you do that online?
Mainly we give back to the schools that we taught at.
Yeah,
that's
no kidding.
Only what we do.
Good for you. I'm glad to hear these stories. Thanks, Joy. And one more quick one. Prudence, you're on WGN. What's up?
Yes, hi, my name is Prudence. I'm a retired school social worker from the west end of Oak Lawn, and our retired teachers, social workers, psychologists all get together once they retire monthly for luncheons, and we began collecting school supplies because we realized that there were a lot of families that the children just weren't adequately prepared, and the retired educators bring in wonderful donations, and then we give the donations to each school social worker because he or she knows best which children need it. And
what a good idea that is. Yeah, yeah. I'm out of time. Thank you for that, Prudence. And Teresa, you're on WGN. Do you do the same thing?
Hi.
Hi, Teresa.
Yes, I'm a retired Chicago Public School teacher, and I use the Donors Choose and other sites very often. I had a group of fifth graders who did not like to read, and if it wasn't for sites that gave donations, I would not have been able to create a library of Hispanic and Black authors and high interest level books for specifically boys or whatever. The donations, my kids, when you do Donors Choose, the kids then write letters explaining how the donations help them, and they're eager to write the letters because they enjoy the material.
What a good idea. Donors Choose is that one. Okay, I've got a handful of text messages about this, and that first caller I think was really interesting, so let's carve out more time for that this week. Thank you for that phone call. And producer Elif, where are you, Elif?
I am standing outside of Studio A, and there's a sign that I'm reading. It says, "Please do not enter while recording is in progress." So I'm just going to, you know, meander around here again.
Well, you're not entering the studio. You just happen to be hanging out of that studio, as you often do during our show. So you're down the hall.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I still think maybe a gift is a great conversation starter. We have that jar of jardinera in my office in the bookshelf.
He's not going to want something that he doesn't know the person that it's from.
I think if you came up to him as a goodwill gesture and said, "Hi, Mr. Travolta, have some jardinera. It's from Chicago." I don't know.
Okay, you really want me to leave that?
Well,
site?
I don't want you to miss your opportunity there. What are they doing now?
Let me walk back.
Rokan's
so
show
really
later this afternoon has a conversation with John Travolta. He's in the building right now. He'll be on with Ro later today.
I can't see in, actually, because there's a glare.
Oh. Well.
But, it's not. I'm outside of the second door that leads to that studio area.
You can go through the first one. You can walk into there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, go ahead. You're not just some Johnny come lately. You're Elif. You produced one of the shows here, for crying out loud.
Right. Okay, well.
Now you're in that other area. Can you see him now?
Yeah, I see them.
Okay, so are they still talking?
Yeah.
Okay, well then.
They are. They're having a good conversation in there.
Yeah, what's John Travolta wearing, by the way?
Blue shirt, jacket.
Does he look handsome? Does he look like a Hollywood star?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Elif. It's your call. If you think you have time to run down, get a jar of jardinera or some gift, I think a gift would be nice. Do that. Otherwise, just hang out there and report back to us after the news. He'll be on with Ro later on. Thank you, Mr. Bertrand. Lots of texts about the conversation we started, and we'll have a greater length later in the week. John, my daughter's a teacher, and for the last 10 years, I can't tell you how much comes out of her pocket. It's unbelievable. She's also bought her students backpacks, winter coats, and gloves for underprivileged. Somebody else said, scarce. Our first call was from a woman that works with this organization that gathers school supplies for nonprofits and schools. Scarce is wonderful. Our scout troops and the PTA have helped them for years. John, I spent on average per children per year $300 per kid on top of my public tuition. Who do I point my finger at? Springfield politicians, shame on them. Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know the solution to this. Pay teachers more but this is a different thing. This is a different pool of money. Teachers shouldn't have to be paying out of their pocket, period. So the schools should just have more funding. And I don't know how that happens. John, ask John Travolta to be on your show. Producer Elif is, let me see if she's still on the phone. Hey, Elif, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, where are you now? What's happening?
He's entering that studio, and I'm going to shake his hand.
Okay, it's about to happen. Producer Elif is, hello. Producer Elif is down the hall. John Travolta's in the building. He's going to be on Rokan's show later today. I think they're talking at 5. So Elif's just been hanging out, as she often does during the show, just wandering the halls. You know, it's funny because coming into the building, I see that he did take a picture with some people here. And when I first saw the picture of John Travolta, I thought that was a picture of Justin Kaufman.
Yeah, he cut his hair, right?
Yeah, so he's like bald on top with a neatly trimmed beard, the same way Justin wears it. It's a good look on both of them, but I swear to God, I thought it was Justin Kaufman. I thought, why are they all so excited to get a picture with Justin? I mean, he's a great guy and all, but we don't normally have lines.
That's what I'm saying. I'm still waiting.
Okay. Are you outside Studio A?
No.
Are there other people near you? Is there traffic, or are you kind of a solo on this?
The bird has flown the coop.
What's that code?
I think she's trying to say that he's left.
I missed my 1 second.
Oh, no. You missed him?
I missed him by 1 second.
Elif, I hope it's not.
God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope it's not because I was asking you to talk to me.
No, it's okay. I'm going to switch back to my microphone now.
Okay, come on back. Bye.
Hi.
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry.
Oh, poor Olive.
It's what okay. Happened? It's because I got really, really nervous.
I'm sure.
I think I got found out, too, because they can hear it over the hallways.
Well, we are broadcast throughout the building, yeah.
Yes. And I almost said it on the phone. I think I've been found out, but I didn't want to ruin it right away.
Because then that would pretty much out you. So
yeah.
It's not like you were asking them for a loan. I mean, you just wanted to say hello, and I enjoy your work, and... Well, I don't know what else you would have done, but probably something like that, right?
Yeah. When did you see him that you noticed he looks like Justin Kaufman? Because I thought the same thing.
A picture was texted to me from, I think it might be, oh boy, if this is from Lou Manfredini, I'm quitting my day job. But I think Lou Manfredini sent it to me.
Where did he see him?
Well, it's a picture of his producer's daughters with.
Oh, my God. That's who walked in.
Lindsay?
I saw her. I didn't know it was her, but
yeah.
Through the these security cameras, you can see people.
So that's it. You know, it's not if you're an adorable couple of kids
who haven't known John Travolta for longer than
they don't. I'm not saying you're more or less deserving. I'm just saying if you're a couple of beautiful kids, a celebrity, of course, is going to hug the babies.
Yeah.
If you're an attractive young woman, I think he would come up to you, too, just as a courtesy. It doesn't matter how you look, but, you know, you're harmless, you're pleasant. And of course I would get my picture taken with you.
Well, did I sound okay? Did I do the bit justice?
Oh, sure, absolutely. No, that's not what this is about, Elif. I was hoping that you were going to get a chance to shake John Travolta's hand and stuff like that.
And I had the Jardinera, but you nixed that idea.
I started to feel bad. This whole conversation is silly enough, and I didn't want to make... I got the sense that it was important enough to you. I shouldn't make you offer him a jar of Jardinera sauce.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
<I know. laughs> Well,
it's for the show.
Good attitude, young lady.
Thanks.
You for that. Attention, celebrities. Please come to Studio D at any time. Producer Olive will be happy to meet you and let you in. It's 2:45. So John Travolta missed your chance on with Rokan, I believe after 5 o'clock this evening here on WGN Radio. So I'm looking at the latest issue of the Princeton Review, the best 385 colleges and universities. This thing comes out every year, and you know, it's all of the schools across the country, and they survey the students and they do other, you know, research on statistics about scores and tuition, and then they come up with all of these rankings, right? So, best classroom experience, Reed College. A lot of small schools. Franklin Olin College of Engineering is number 2. Best classroom experience, the United States Military Academy is number 3. There aren't many schools that you'd recognize on here. Number 9 is St. Olaf. Number 10 is Marlboro. A lot of the small schools, maybe out east, private schools, do well on here. But then they do the flip side, right? Students say the least about this. Students say the most about this. Professors get high marks. Are your instructors good teachers? Students say, number 1, Sarah Lawrence College, Reed College, Franklin Olin College. There they are again. Wheaton College is number 17. And, you know, this does include the University of Illinois and the University of Chicago. They're all eligible for this. Wheaton College is the one school in these parts that appears in the top 20 for professors get high marks. Professors get low marks. Number 1, the University of Hawaii at Manoa. I think that's because they're at the University of Hawaii. Who are we kidding here? We're in Hawaii, whatever. Number 2, Stevens Institute of Technology. Number 3, Louisiana State University. The University of Connecticut and the University of Kentucky are 4 and 5. Louisville is 6. That's not good, kids. Number 7, professors get low marks. Illinois Institute of Technology. And now you've heard the names of the schools in this area that appear most often. One does really well and one does not. Wheaton continually gets strong marks where applicable in this list. It's not on, so who goes to Wheaton College? Religious conservatives. And so if it's, there's some categories where that they might, you know, be inclined to do well there. Wheaton College students are very happy with their academic experience.
Don't you think there's also going to be a big correlation between size? Because the smaller the, you know, the less students that are going there, the more attention they're likely to get. And therefore, professors are going to be able to be, you know, a little bit more engaged.
Well, now that you mention it, maybe that's it. Because I'm like, where's the University of Illinois? That's a great value school. It's a great school. Northwestern, Michigan, right? Yeah, they're not on. They do not appear in the top 20 in these things.
Yeah, it's hard to find a classroom with less than
200 students.
Right,
sometimes,
yeah.
Literally. Wow. Best run colleges. Overall, how smoothly is your college run? Number one, Elon. What? Number two, Texas Christian. And number three, Washington University in St. Louis pops up now and again. I'll tell you another school that pops up, good and bad, is Wisconsin-Madison. U of W Madison. That's number 11 on best run colleges.
Where's Elon?
I don't know. Great financial aid, Wisconsin Madison is number 19. Best college library, Wisconsin Madison is number 11. University of Chicago is number 9. I thought the University of Illinois library would be in the top 20. It's famously good and large. It's not.
I thought there were multiple libraries.
For U of I?
Well, just in general. At least at Purdue, we had multiple libraries.
Yeah, I suppose there's a main library. But so where's Purdue? Where's Indiana? Where's Wisconsin? Wisconsin appears a lot, but Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern are not in here. Your Purdue Boilermakers don't crack any of these lists that I saw. Administration gets low marks. Illinois Institute of Technology. There they are again, number 8. The students love these colleges. Overall, how satisfied are you with your school? Some of these sound similar, but that's the question they ask the students. Overall, how satisfied are you with your school? Vanderbilt 1, Tulane 2, Kansas State 3, Brown 4, University of Wisconsin-Madison 5, Washington U and St. Louis is number 14. Happiest students. Overall, how happy are you? Overall, how happy are you? Not how happy are you with your college, just how happy are you? Wheaton College, number 15. Only one in these parts. Which is funny because a lot of kids, if they go to Wheaton, would be the unhappiest thing that ever happened to them, right? Because they are not conservative, Republican, like-minded, you know, service religious tracts people. But that population of students at Wheaton College could not be happier. So it's a happy school. Good for them. Least happy students, Illinois Institute of Technology is number 6 in the country.
Why? Man, yeah, what's going on over there, man?
Seriously. Isn't that supposed to be one of the best schools in Chicago, the city?
I think, yeah. I mean, I guess how many do we have? And aren't all of them pretty good schools? UIC is a really good school, really good value. Obviously, Loyola, DePaul, Northwestern, U of C, world class, right? Least beautiful campus. This might
UIC.
It didn't make the list, but Illinois Institute of Technology is number 5 okay. In the country.
UIC is not a pretty school. I went there.
Baseball field has a nice view. Most beautiful campus, LFU or Elon University.
Okay.
Elon is in here a lot. Least happy students, Xavier of Louisiana, Simmons University, Seton Hall. Boy, you're paying a lot of money to be unhappy there in New Jersey. United States Naval Academy, unhappy students, number 4. St. John's, 5. Illinois Institute, number 6. Overall, unhappiest student bodies. Most conservative students in America, Wheaton is number 9. Best quality of life. Based on the Princeton Review's quality of life rating, this must take into account a number of things. Vanderbilt 1, Kansas State 2, TCU 3, Wheaton is number 9, Wash U is number 11, and University of Wisconsin-Madison 15. Those three just keep popping up.
Okay, I had to look up Elon, and it's in North Carolina, and it's a private liberal arts university. Yeah. It is very beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's it, too. If you can afford to go to a private liberal arts university in North Carolina, your family's well-heeled, you've had a good life, you don't have to worry about being a plumber or an electrician, you just get to go study the arts. I mean, of course you're happy. Is that a dorm? Based on students' rating of dorm comfort, the worst in the country is the United States Naval Academy. Maybe that's getting them shipshape. But number nine is the Illinois Institute of Technology. I'm sorry to hear this. By the way, Lauren Lapkai said that your university, Purdue, does not appear in the Princeton review of colleges, but it does under extracurriculars, best athletic facilities in America. Number one, Florida State. You want your kid to go to a school with cool athletic stuff? Vanderbilt's two, Alabama's three, Denison is four, and Purdue is five.
Yeah, they have really, really nice facilities. Drew Brees and his wife have been very generous with the football program specifically.
I don't know if this means like where the football team plays. Maybe it means both. Student rec stuff, too. I'll bet they got a great rec center.
I would think so, yeah. The rec facility, I would say, is much nicer than Ross-Ade Stadium. But
well, let's do this. One last category for you to guess on. What university is rated most beer-friendly? Most beer-friendly.
Ooh, Arizona State? I don't know. I just know that's supposed to be the party school.
I did see Arizona State appear in one of the party categories. It's not the number one beer school. It is our friends at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
I guess that makes sense.
Of course, of course. And the least beer-friendly? They drink the least beer at this university? Think about it. Religious school. Well-known Division I football power. But they still don't drink a lot of beer. There is Brigham Young, BYU. So we'll talk to the people from this because there are some more serious categories that you and your students may want to know about later in the week. The news is coming up, plus Ro and Anna preview their show on WGN. We're talking about going to college. If I said something inartful or unkind about electricians and people in the trade, plumbers, then I didn't choose my words correctly. I did not mean anything bad about them. We should aspire for those kinds of careers, many of us. And Rokana, I now hear down
the
hall.
Ask you a
He's
question.
Handy too, Rokana.
Yeah. I'll bet he is.
Yes, no, actually, I am. It's the great
People
shock
don't
of,
believe
of my
this.
Life.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I go up against Manfredini anytime. You know, you got to do a flam shooter. I'll replace a flam shooter with you.
Sounds
anyway,
like a face off.
I've got to take a victory lap here because you were just applauding Purdue University for its athletic facilities.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And it was top five.
Yeah.
Right. What did you say number four was?
Number four, is it Denison?
Denison University.
Yeah. What about
In Granville, Ohio.
What about it?
My alma mater.
Go Big Red.
How about that?
Just always trying to one-up me, huh?
A Division III school. Division III school has the best. It was swimming national champion for a number of years.
So oh, we know that, Ro. Yeah. Come on.
There you go. There you go. No big deal. No big deal. Go Big Red.
What is their mascot? What do they call it?
The Big Red.
That's it?
Yeah, so we don't have a mascot. They had an Indian, but then that
chewing
got...
gum come
well,
out?
Well, that's what they used to do at the football games, throw chewing gum around, and then the university didn't like that either.
You didn't have an Indian.
But there's no mascot, right? There's no mascot.
Well, there was
mascot?
An Indian, but they got rid of the Indian even before I got there. They got rid of the Indian in the 80s, early 80s. And so it was like, you know, they were like, we had to be done with this. And
they,
so...
They say that your school has a better athletic facility than K-State, Ohio State University.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you heard of these places?
I've heard of them, yeah. How about that? That's a little something right there. That's pretty good. I'm just saying. Because when you were going down the list, I'm surprised that Lauren didn't immediately give credit where credit was due to
Denison. She didn't mention that.
Before she went to Purdue. But okay, fine, whatever. I get it.
Denison doesn't pop up in any of the academic ones.
Wait, what?
That's interesting. Anywhere else does it show up?
Well, I think the beer thing is certainly going to be there
somewhere. It's on that list.
Well, you're not there anymore, so they fell off.
Yeah, that's probably true. Good point. All right. Coming up on the program, thanks for asking. We just sat down with John Travolta. He was in the studio with us.
Wow. Was he amazing? I like him even more. I love him as an actor, but just as a human being, when he came in here, the way he was with us and just took time and was humble. And just surprisingly, just an amazing guy, asked about us and things we talked about. It was so engaging.
That's so nice. You didn't see producer Ellip with a jar of Jardiniere sauce in the window there, did you?
Yeah, I did. I actually did. There were several people who had things that John needed to sign and touch and things like that.
Just or receive as a gift, as a gesture.
Is that what you were going to get, the Jardiniere sauce? Because it was in the...
It's all we had. We weren't prepared for it.
Oh, right. Get him the Jardiniere. He's Italian.
It's like when a celebrity, like when all those planes had to land in Gander, Newfoundland, on September 11th, and all the residents were coming out to give people things.
Yeah.
Don't you need something? They had nothing to give them.
Aww.
Here's an ox nostril. That's all we have.
But
it's yours now.
Yeah.
Well, nice try, Elif. It was a valiant effort. But kudos to you guys. 5 o'clock, huh?
It'll be in the, I'm looking now. You know what?
Oh, wait, 5 o'clock, you do the top five at five. Right. So that wouldn't make sense.
So it's after 5 o'clock.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll be listening.
There's a part of it. We'll play a part of it, and then the full interview is going to run next week. But there's some really interesting stuff he said about Peter Fonda.
Oh, sure. Well, we'll be listening later on. I got to go.
Very good. All right. There you go. Show.